Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, 30 minutes. And before
we go into any further ado, I would like all of you that will, my beautiful kingdom family, my friends, kinship, supporters of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm asking you to bow your heads as we reverence the one and the only, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on tonight. Father God, hallelujah, we come with grateful hearts of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us to gather in unity once again around this background. Father God, you know we're coming from the north, the south, east, and the west as pilgrims through this barren land. And Father God, I'm asking you to anoint these lips of clay, God, to bring a rhema word to those that may or may not know of you in the pardons of their sins, God. Lord, I want you to grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, hallelujah, and words of wisdom to those who are hurting deeply within the epitome of their souls. Father God, we'll be so mindful to give your name the glory and the honor and the praise. For these prayer petitions we ask in your son named Jesus. And we shall all say amen and amen. And I just thank you, as I first stated, for being my loyal, hallelujah, and dedicated listeners. I just thank you, because without you, there would be no need for me to be here. And I always say, each time that opportunity presents itself, I would let you know just how important you are to this program. And not only to this program, but unto the work of God, because I am on a mission. I'm not just here running off at the mouth, but I am on my job, the job that God has designated and presented unto myself. And I am here to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. For the words of God tells me to go out into the world and preach my gospel to every creature. And he that believeth shall be baptized, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And so that is what I am aiming to do, is bring you the good news, the divine word of truth. And so I know I got quite a bit to try to cover on tonight. We'll cover all of it if God says the same. And if you have to come back with a continuation, then we'll do that as well. But we will go on into our program, and our sermon on tonight is Christ, Someone Worth Living For. I would just like you to ponder those words. Let those words kind of meditate and resolve down off in your spirit tonight. Christ, Someone Worth Living For. Now we read in the law of Philippians 2 and 5 through 6, and it reads like this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. And that scripture reading, once again, is coming out of Philippians 2 and 5 through 6 and 8. And we know that it's been now 2,000 years ago after Christ has walked this earth. And we know that he is still the center of attention. We find out that some love him, others hate him. They hate him on the radio and airwaves. They hate him on the television. They hate him in our schools. They even hate him in our magazines. They hate him in our workplace. They hate him in our sports arena. And they have just taken his name in vain. Even ridicule and blaspheme it is. Hallelujah. And they have acted as though there is concerted attack on this one man and all he represents. Yet we find out in all history, Jesus Christ is unique and he towers above those who want to trample on him. There are five basic facts about Jesus, hallelujah, that we all need to consider. And I'd like this number one thought: if you cannot explain Christ, Jesus is beyond human logic or understanding. He cannot be interpreted through either scientific or physiological explanation. Jesus Christ is the one historical personage whose life was written before he was even born, before he had set foot in the arena of the human history. His biography had already been penned, and we know that, hallelujah, I would like to bring your attention that even Christ's birth, his works, and even his teaching, and even though he performed many miracles, the way in which he would die, hallelujah, and miraculously rise from the dead, all of that was prophesied and written down long before he came into the world. And Jesus Christ was born in a manger, yet wise men from the east followed a bright star, came and worshiped him and bowed before a little baby. Hallelujah. And we also know that others also sensed something that was special about that baby. Authorities on the Jewish law later sat discussing it with him when he was just 12 years of age. He was a man of miracles. Hallelujah. And 36 are recorded in the gospel. Only God could take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and break them and feed 5,000 people with plenty left over. No one else could speak to the deaf so they could hear or bring words to the lips of the dumb. Hallelujah. And sight to the blind. Only Christ said to a lame man, get up and walk. So that in front of an astonished crowd, he did. Certainly Christ alone could raise from the dead a 12-year-old girl, a young man and an older man who had already been entombed. You cannot explain Christ. He once spoke to a fig tree and its process of withering, which would normally have taken years, happened overnight. Jesus spoke to a storm at sea when wind and wave were beating against his little boat. His peace be still brought instant calm to a temperate sea. Christ had power over the devil and over nature, including disease and death. He even had power over his own death, saying, no man can take my life. Hallelujah. I have power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. Hallelujah. At every major event in the Bible, each person of the Trinity was at work. It was so when Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible teaches that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead. We read that in the law of 1 Corinthians 6:14, that he was raised by the power of the Holy Spirit. We go back into the law of Romans 8:11, that he raised himself. Did you hear what I said? That he raised himself by his own powers. That's in the law of Romans 8:11. And we go on a little further to John 2:18 through 22. And we know that many ignored or derided Jesus, but they cannot explain either his life or his death and resurrection. Christ was sinless. He was pure. He was holy, undefiled. He turned to his enemies and asked, "Which of you convict me of sin?" He looked to his Father and said, "I delight to do your will." You may criticize the church establishment or argue about doctrine, but could you explain Christ except that he is God come down in the flesh? Scores of worldly leaders have had their moments. Now they are gone, mere names in history books. Contrast Christ's impact. He never compelled people to follow him. Yet, out of love, and nearly 2,000 years later, we find out that millions are willing to put off the old man. We read that in the law of Colossians 3:9, to live for him. You cannot explain him. And secondly, you cannot equal Christ. No one but Jesus Christ has ever been able to live without sin. He never apologized or blushed with embarrassment. He did not need to. It was never necessary for Jesus to withdraw a single word, hallelujah, or modify a single act. We find out that everything he said and did was perfectly balanced. He showed no signs of regret or remorse for a misused opportunity and never felt guilty. Hallelujah, because there was nothing for him to feel guilty about. He never experienced the pain of an accusing conscience. And we know that John, who was very close to Christ, once said, "In him is no sin." Peter, the man of action, said, "He did not sin." Then Paul, the great intellectual, said, "He knew no sin." We find out that the book of Hebrews, which is all to do with the old and the new covenant, said he is without sin. Even his judge Pilate said, "I find no fault in this man." Judas, who sold Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver, said, "I have betrayed innocent blood." The soldier who supervised Jesus' crucifixion said, "Surely, hallelujah, he was the Son of God." No man can equal his purity. Many great religious leaders have lived and died and been buried, and that was the end of it. Millions followed Muhammad, but he is dead and buried. Millions have followed Buddha, but he also is dead and buried. And there's scores of spiritual gurus. But Christ rose bodily from the dead and sent his spirit down to us. You cannot equal Christ. There is no man like him, for he is both man and God. Christ was in completely control of his emotions. He did not panic when there was 5,000 people to feed or when lepers came to be healed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we know that Christ even attended the wedding in Cana. Between his dignity before Pilate and the humility and the meekness, between his profoundly and his simplicity, for example, in the parable between his servanty against the hypocrites of the Pharisees and his tenderness to the woman caught in the act of adultery. Between his great energy in going about doing things and his rest in his Father's presence. We know that Jesus Christ loved God and he loved man. Hallelujah. A perfect equilibrium. You will never equal him in any way. Thirdly, you cannot exclude Christ in some countries. The worship of God is brutally suppressed. In others, it is horribly perverted and twisted. Hallelujah. And we know that the God, he loves us. And he has compassion. And it leads him to pursue his children patiently. You can never completely exclude Christ from your life. The heart of God urges his people to turn from their sins and return to him. Christ stood over Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he groaned, "Oh, Jerusalem, how often I would gather your children together as a hen gather her brood under her wings. But you were not willing." That's in the law of Luke 13 and 34. Jesus Christ is the Bible revelation responsible for the most radical changes in the lives of millions, as well as having been the prime influence of ethics, custom, legal system, architectural art, music, hallelujah, literature and history, on many cultures. For you cannot escape Christ. Those who ignore all the ardent yearning of God toward them should hear the Bible's teaching that there is a forthcoming judgment for all those who on earth have said to God, "Depart from me," will face him. The ultimate judge pronouncing the same words to them. He controls the eternal destiny of every man and woman and child. Heaven and hell are realities that nobody can escape. And how strange, though, that people should want to escape from God, who rules not as a tyrant, but as a loving heavenly Father who longs to give the best to his children. Why should anyone want to escape him except because of unwillingness to leave their selfish, sinful ways? Jesus Christ is pursuing you out there in my listening digital audience on tonight. I would like to ask you, why do you run away? Christ left heaven to come to earth and die for you today. He desired that you trust him and accept his loving lordship. God set his loving sight on all people who would want to escape such everlasting joy. And number five, you can experience and enjoy Christ. Millions have found that Jesus Christ is not just a figure of history. Hallelujah. Who set a moral example or a prophet who promised a future king are born to live and Christ was born to die. So that we can live eternally because Christ was sinless. Death, which is the consequences of sin, had no claim on him. But out of love for us, Jesus chose to pay the price of sin for us all. Christ's life and death and resurrection forms a rescue mission. The now risen Jesus longed to forgive each one of us personally when we repent and believe the sin that separates us from God is instantly removed and we are brought into a living, loving, lasting relationship with God. Jesus wants to experience God in your own life. He disposes of the past, enriches the present, and directs the future. And this is possible only through the finished work of Christ. No matter how sinful your life might have been, Jesus willing to cleanse and completely and abide within you. And you that are out there in my digital listening audience on tonight, I want to let you know that it's nothing that you have done so horrible that God would not forgive you for. Even if you've committed a murder, God is a forgiving God. You said, "Pastor Ward, I've murdered someone in my lifetime." God is a forgiving God of murder. You might say, "Pastor Ward, I broke in someone's house and I stole their contents. I stole cars. I broke into business places." God is a forgiver of whatever sin that you have entertained. God is a forgiving God. Hallelujah. And all God is asking of you is to allow him into your life. Hallelujah. Just allow Christ to come and to abide in you. And we know that Christ is utterly unique and he is absolutely vital for your salvation. Hallelujah. He is willing and able to save you from the penalty power and ultimate the presence of sin. Jesus loved you enough to die for you. Surely you should trust him and love him enough to live for him. In closing, I hope and I pray that I've said something to infuse your spirit and impact your mind. As I have brought unto you the divine word of truth, until we meet again, I want you to go in God as God go in you. And if this program has been a blessing to you in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions you would like to submit to the old ship of Zion to pray with you in prayer, you are encouraged to send your respondents to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Ministry, care of Blog Talk Radio, program Your Old Ship of Zion. Attention, Senior Pastor Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California. The zip is 95020. Until we meet again, I want you to go in God as God goes in you. Bye for now.